Okay, Agidavach, we're holding Shabbos, Daf Ayin Ches Amud Aleph. It's a bit late, so we'll try to keep it shorter tonight. Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, about 7 lines down from the top of the page. Today's Daf is Ayin Ches. We're at the 2 dots, 8 lines down from the top. Mayim Kedei Lashav Memes Agiler. This is going to be the focus of the whole Daf tonight, not this particular case, just the Shiurim. It's really this whole parak. What is the amount that's considered Chashav enough that if one carries it, he's Chayiv for carrying on Shabbos? So if a person carries on Shabbos Chlila, and it's an amount that's not considered substantial of that item, then one would not be chayev a chatas. If you remember, we left off, I think it was yesterday in the shiur, we mentioned the tour when he quotes these halachas, he doesn't bring any shiurim. He says the shiurim, the amounts of items and their various shiurim is so vast that it's going to be such a long discussion in of itself. So, and the Torah says, therefore, I'm not going to bring it because it's not relevant to Halacha L'maisa. Why? Because you're not allowed to carry any amount, obviously, even less than a shiur. Pachas m'shiur is aser, and the only relevance for a shiur is to get to a chiyuv of chatas. And chayv chatas we don't have as much as that anyway. And therefore, the Torah doesn't bring it. We point out that a lot of the achrenim take issue with that, that there are other relevant cases, the most basic cases, legabe, a person who needs to be Mechal Shabbos for a chayla, for various reasons, you certainly, if you're able to do it in a way where you're doing pachas mekashir, is always a maila. So knowing the shir would still be relevant for such a case. Other questions on the tour, but that was the Torah's site. Our Gemara clearly is going to go through, obviously, this is, you know, relevant for ultimately Meheri, but if it's English, when there will be Karma Chatoises, our Gemara is going to go through, again, many items. Our Gemara, the next Mishnah, and the next Gemara, many items, what their shir is. So, we discussed in our mission already that mayim, the shear of water, is enough to mix into like some sort of salve for the eye. So Abaye gives now some interesting kalim when we measure different liquids. We've been giving, or it's not really liquids, it's really anything, but the focus here is going to be on liquids. We've been giving different amounts for wine, for oil, for honey. So Abaye is going to explain how the logic works. Amar Abaye, michti, kol masa d'shricha v'lashricha, anything which has a common usage and an uncommon usage. Azra abadam basa shricha l'kula. So abadam will go based on the common usage of the kula, which means, for example, let's say you have wine, which the wine is commonly used as a drink, of course. People drink wine. But it could also be used for some other usage to put into that same salve. It could be the liquid in this eye salve as well. It's much less common to put wine into the eye salve because you have much cheaper liquids to put in. But it still could be used for that. So Abaye says the clause is very simple. If something is primarily used, let's say, for a drink, and could be used for something else, so what's going to be established this year? Asra bana basa shchicha l'chumra. You go based on the Lakula. You'll go based on the more common usage, even Lakula. The amount that's needed to make a cup of wine, which is a revius of wine, is a cup of wine, we spoke out, was a revius of undiluted wine. A revius of undiluted wine, of Yahin Shein and Muzik, is enough to dilute 3 parts to 1 to make a cup of wine. Even that quarter of a revius is more than what you put into a salve. And therefore, it's going to be a kula to go based on that, as opposed to the wine that you're putting into a salve. That's just an example. When you have a shricha usage and a less shricha usage, we use the more common usage, even the kula. Next case, what if you have shricha? What if you have something which has equally common usages? So over there, of course, the Rabbanan say, we go l'chumra, whichever is the smallest shear, that's going to be enough to make a chi of carbon. Yayin, now the Merkus examples, we already spoke this one out. Yayin shisiyasei shchicha, fasa de shchicha. With wine, drinking of it is common. Refuah purpose is less common. And therefore, the Rabbanan basa shiyasei shchicha. The Rabbanan go based on the drinking, which is more common, even though it's lakula. Even though it comes out of leniency, because it's a bigger shear in order to make one chayev. Chala, when it comes to milk, achilasa shichas shchicha, refuasa de shchicha. When it comes to milk, the eating of it is common. The using it for refuah, again, for the same salve, is less common. It could be used, but it's less common. Therefore, Azra Banam Basar, Achilasa, again, the Rabbanan go based on the Achila. What was that shear we spoke in the Mishnah? Kedei Gemiyah, a shear of how much a person swallows. We didn't say it doesn't, not Kegregrius, or not Revius. Kedei Gemiyah, the amount a person swallows of milk. That was the shear. Okay. Azra Banam Basar, Achilasa, Lakula, again, Lakula. Devash, whereas by honey, where apparently the usage for refuah is more common than the eating, Achilasa Shricha, Refuasa Shricha. Take that back. Not more common, but equally common. Both the usage for eating and the usage for a fool, we said, it was put on sores, is very common, and therefore Azra Abanam Basar Fasa the Chumra. The Abanam go based on the usage for a fool, which is the Chumra. When it's equally common, you go based on the more common dikashir, namely the little amount that you put in the sore. That's enough. We had a discussion yesterday, is it to cover the whole sore, part of the sore, but enough to cover the sore. That is the smaller shita, the smaller shear, and that's going to be the chumra by honey. Okay, these are all...
Just to posit an idea, maybe it's not necessarily equally common, because let's face it, honey is still... more.
Oh, sit tight. You're onto something. Mechamz the Ramban. Wait till the end of the Gemara. You're onto something. Very good. Says the Gemara, so You go based on refuah, which is the chumrah. Ella. So here, Abaye set up a few guidelines to set up this question. Ella mayim b'kdei shitasei shchicha. Water, what do we say the mishnah this year is enough to put in the salve for the eye, enough to put in the potion for the eye? Well, let's think about it. What's still the most common usage of water? Drinking. Ella mayim b'kdei shitasei shchicha. Refuah le shchicha. L'chayra, putting the water in the salve, maybe it's more common than wine and then milk, because those are more expensive items, but it's still less, very, one would think it's uncommon as compared to drinking water. And if that's the case, why are they going based on the sheer, this little amount of water that's used for the salve to be machmir, that little amount of water is enough to be chai for carrying on Shabbos, l'chari should be going based on a much bigger share, the share of avias, the share of drinking. So why are we going, by a case of shchicha and leishchicha, why are we going l'chumra? Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, so Abaye himself raised the question, and he offers the first answer. We have two answers. Abaye is the first answer. Amar Abaye, Bigalila Shanu. We're talking, our mission is talking about a case in Galil. There's two ways to understand this. First, we're going to Rashi's Pshat, simple. Galil, the people were poor. And since the people were very poor, they would never use milk, never use wine, never use any of the other liquids for the salve. Because they never used any of the other liquids for the salve, the usage of water and salve became almost, again to the point that Liza brought up a moment ago, it became almost as common as the usage of water itself, and therefore it became a shchicha and a shchicha, and therefore we go with the Muhammad the Gashir. That is Rashi's understanding of Galil Shanu, and Galil is different. Jump into Rabbi, I mean, it's hard to find it, but if you have Rabbi Nachman on the side of the page, about a third of the way down, Rabbi Nachman, he says, What's Galil Shanu? Claimar, may Galil Shehim Yaduim, it's known. Shema Ilam Ayin Bekilar, Shein Kemay Dekalim. Kemay Dekalim. Shein Yaduim Shema Lirika. Just like we know that waters of Dekal, may Dekalim waters are very good for some sort of green jaundice type of illness, so do we know, you may Galil, the waters of Galil were unique. So it comes out according to this. It's nothing to do with the people of Galil being poor. Ibn Haram is learning that the water of Galil was unique in its ability to heal this the eye issues. So in Gull, the waters of Gull specifically were more commonly used for salve, as commonly used for salve as they are used for the eye. That is Abaye's answer. Rav says, Rav says, no, you don't have to tell me it's Dafka, but Gull is different. Dafka, one second. What?
Which is amazing.
Avada. What else would it be?
Oh, that's all good. Okay.
Yeah. I didn't say correct. But the once you go out away from Galil, we're saying Dafka Galil, where Galil was used as the salve over there, it's equally as common as regular water, and therefore the shear is this tiny amount, which is a very big ukimta in this Mishnah. But everywhere else will be Revius 100%. That'll be regular shear. Ravis is different. Now, Filtei Meshamakaymus. Ravis says you can even go to other places. Now, again, according to Rashi, means literally other places, because Galil was poor. Other places weren't so poor. And still we can have an answer. According to Rabbi Nachman, we mean even water, other water. It's not the water of Galil. And what's the answer? Kiddush Shmuel, Tamar Shmuel, Kol Shekaini Maisu. All the different liquids mixed into this eye salve, they work, they help. However, they heal. Umatali. But they do cause, obviously, a blurriness in the eye. You can't see when you have a colorful liquid in the eye. The wine, the milk, they're not clear. Levar Mamai, except for water. Water cures and it doesn't cover the eye. The eye can still see through it. And therefore, water is the best. So this is where, again, Liza started saying this before, but this is where the Rambam points out. We're saying now, Rabbi's saying a new answer. You don't have to come on to Galil, poor people, or according to Ben Chananel, that it's the best, it has some sort of therapeutic elements in the water of Galil. No, much more simple. Water is used for drinking, taka, and water is used for eye salve. But even though there's other stuff, other items used for eye salve as well, they're much, much less used, even by the wealthy people, because at the end of the day, if there's wine mixed in or milk mixed in, it's going to be harder for the eye to see. And therefore, water is by far the choice used in the eye salve. And since it's choice, so much the choice to use by, for the salve in the eye, it becomes like a shchicha, and therefore, it's the shear for Shabbos is going to be the smaller shear of the eye salve. You go to chumra, when it's shchicha and shchicha, you always go to chumra, and therefore the eye salve is enough. Says the Rabbi, you didn't answer the question. Most water is still used for drinking, by far. Most water is clearly still used for drinking. So you didn't answer the question. Answer the Ramban, and Liza, you didn't say it, but I'm assuming this is exactly where you're going before. When we say common and uncommon, we don't mean, we're not measuring up exactly 50-50, 60-40. The point is, it's a common enough usage. Matzah. You find the concept elsewhere we discussed by matzah. What's called matzah? Matzah doesn't have to mean it's ripe. It just means it's common. It's got to be something which is common. This is considered very common. Shchicha is common, and therefore it's enough to make it a chashivas. It's a simple svara, by the way. It makes a lot of, it's a very, very, very easy svara. Even if rave is used for one thing, and the meat is used for something else, but if it's a meat hamatzai, that gives a chashivas. It already has status, and therefore would be an issue for carrying that amount on Shabbos. Okay. Rishar kol maskim brivius.
Just an item.
Gemara writer. Rishar kol maskim brivius. So all the maskim is brivius, as opposed to that's the end of the Mishnah. Says the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. We learned it. Brisa dam. Now we start to focus on other maskim. Dam. The girsa we have is v'chol mine maskim. Dam and all the maskim. Tesis takes issue with the girsa. Just an obvious point of Tesis. Look at the second Tesis on the page. Dam v'chol mine maskim brivius. But tesef tegaris ushar mine maskim, which is what we had in our Mishnah. Shar, because don't tell me chol mine maskim. You just gave me in the Mishnah a list of one, the Chaynirte says, Daha, kol mina mashkim einam revius, the yayin, shemen, dvash, umayim. You just gave me a whole list of mashkim in our Mishnah that are not revius. So don't tell me kol mina mashkim, say shar mina mashkim. Okay. Dam, so we're going to go taste this gears like the Sefta. Shar mina mashkim. Other mina mashkim be revius. Others, besides for the wine, the honey, and the other stuff we discuss, should really be a revius like dam. Okay. Rashiman ben Elazar Emer, dam kde lachel ba'ayin achas. Dam is enough to apply to one eye. Shekain Kechlin Levricus. There's a certain type of I don't know if it's like a pimple, certain type of a wound in the eye with something that protrudes from the eye, and they cover with blood. They apply a blood to it, and that's what we'll see what type of blood in a moment. They apply blood to it, and that gives it a healing that heals it, and therefore that gives it a chashivas for that shear of blood. Now, obviously, it's only going to be the blood of whichever species we're using for the healing. Whose blood is this? Dam de tanagal bara. It's the blood of a wild hen. So specifically the blood of a wild hen, the shear is going to be much less than revius. Rishon Lezer's argument saying the shear could be enough to be a salve on one eye where you have this little pimple or something of the like. L'chaira, any other animal, or any other blood of any other item, would be a revius again. Back to the original shear. He's only arguing.
Saying there's a machlokes here?
See, the way it's set up, normally it's a good klal. Reb Shimon Gamliel Amar, exactly. Sounds like it's a machlekes, but I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure if he's, unless he's saying, I'm not sure why it'd be machlekes. Right? Because every other dam he agrees to. I don't know the logic why it's machlekes.
No way you're learning from Shimon Lez that he holds that every dam is machlekes.
L'chayrinat. Because this is the reason. Because it heals. Right? Reb Shimon Gamliel Amar, Reb Shimon Gamliel says, Vaiter, dam kedei lochel boy ainachas. The blood that he takes out, he's chayav for carrying, if it's enough to apply for one eye. Why? Because we apply blood to heal. This is yarad, is a cataract. Well, mind you, which blood is used for the cataract? Dam de kirkristina. It's the blood of, very interesting, they teach it as a mole, and that's the way they teach Rashi. Rashi actually uses the word atleif. Atleif, you always teach as a bat. Rabbi Nechanan Taka says that it means like a domesticated hen, as opposed to the wild hen that we had a moment ago, or a bat, which seems to be, but apparently bats were semi-domesticated. We'll see for the next line of the Gemara. V'simanech, the way to remember which remedy of blood is for which illness is like this. Gava legava, that which is inner is for inner. So the cataract is a wound which is kind of considered inside the eye. It's inside the eyelid. It's inside the eye. And that is healed with the blood of the inside. Again, either it's the mole, and the moles, these little moles hang out under buildings. They hang out inside. Or it's the domesticated hen, or the bat. And bra levra, the wild hen, which is outside, it's wild, it's in the outside, the dump for that one is used for the outer, the pimple that's outside of the eye. Okay, the Brisa continues, b'maitzi. When do we say this? B'maitzi, the guy be carrying something out on Shabbos. Ava masnia, when it comes to storing something away, kol shu chayev, even a small amount is chayev, which obviously at face value makes zero sense. When I matznia something, I'm chayev, why would I be chayev hitza for storing something? The Gemara doesn't elaborate. What it means is, something that's worth storing is a shear of chayev, so if I'm storing something, even a kol shu, that gives it a chashivas, and therefore, we will see, therefore gives it a shear of a chashivas to be chayev for carrying, like we had in the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to elaborate similar to our Mishnah. B'med v'mamurim, Reb Shimon Ayim, Reb Shimon says, b'med v'mamurim, b'matznia, avamaitzi in a chayev l'arbevias, dafka someone who stores this item, that's when he's chayev for the shirim. Avamaitzi, one who carries, he's chayev only by a revius. One takes out water, like dirty water, into Rishis Rabbim, Shashir and Bervius, the shear is a Revius. So again, this is very similar to our Mishnah. The Gemara actually, the Gemara never really explained it in our Mishnah, why dirty water, one is Chayiv Bechlau, what's dirty water used for? The Gemara will explain it in the Brisa, which obviously will be an answer for our Mishnah as well. As we elaborate on this Brisa, we'll get back to that point about dirty water, the shear is also Revius. We'll see what it's used for later in the Gemara. But first, the Gemara addresses the early part of the Brisa. When is one chayav for taking out these items, these shirim? If he's taking out av matznia, if he's storing it away, kol shu is enough. In fact, ato matznia lav maitziu. When a person's storing, is he not going to take it out as well? Meaning, you're telling me the case of one of these shiurim for a guy who takes out. A guy who stores is chayav kol shu. The guy who's storing is obviously not chayav for storing it. He's only chayav for taking it out. So then why are you telling me that the matzniya is now chayav even on a kol shu? It's heard one line earlier you said he's chayav only for the shiurim. Amar Abaye
Hachmeitz. Does the lashon of the kasha bother you? Atu matzniya v'avmeitzi. What is
the Gemara is speaking at the next level. Matzniya doesn't mean matzniya alone. Because there's no haitza on matzniya. Must be taking it out. So if you're taking it out, then what's the difference line to line? They're both haitzi. The Gemara is like spelling out the next line. It spelled out the thought for us without saying it. Says Gemara, Amar Abaye, Hachmai Eskina, Betalmid Sha'amalei Rabbi. We're talking over here about this. Does not mean Talmud the way they explain it. It means more like an apprentice. An apprentice whose master, let's say Rashi's example is like a blacksmith, whose example is the blacksmith where the rabbi told him, Leichapan and Leimakam Masuda, go and clear a place for me so we can sit and eat. Halachapan Lei. So the Talmud went, the student went and he cleared away a place. So, and he moved in the effort to clear away a place, he moved things around on Shabbos. Davar Chashav Akol, something which is considered Chashav, without a shayla, chayev alay. He's certainly chayev for that. Even if his master is not matzniya, that the master being matzniya plays no role. That's chashiv, and therefore he's for sure going to be chayev. Davar she'ena chashiv akol, something which is certainly not chashiv. So then the halacha is as follows. Here's where we get to the matzniya in the Mishnah. In the Brisa, I atzni rabbe mechayev alay. If it's something which is not chashiv for other people, but his master, his teacher, is matzniya it, the fact that he stores it, that gives the chashivas, and therefore the Talmud will be chayev for carrying it. V'ilay, and if it sounds familiar, we're going to explain it is very familiar to a conversation we had at the end of the first mishnah of this berak. V'ilai, and if the master did not store it, lay mechayev, or maybe it's last berak. V'ilai, lay mechayev. But if the master doesn't store this item away, and it's not chashiv for the people, lay mechayev, he won't be chayev. So now we have an interesting machlekes. Rashi says what's going on over here. If you remember, we had a machlekes earlier in the past few blah. If a Ruvain decides something's chashiv, and he stores it, but the Hamanab doesn't think it's chashiv, and then Shimon goes and carries the item that Ruvain gave chashivas to. Will that make Shimon chayev as well or not? So the Rabbanan, we want to say that's machlekes the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon Lazar in the end of the Mishnah. The Rabbanan say not chayev because for most people it's not chashiv. Just because this guy said it's chashiv, for him it's chayev, he stores it, he carries it. For someone else that carries, even though it's his item, someone else that carries it, this other person, for that second person, is not chashiv, and therefore you're not chayev. Whereas according to I think it was Rabbi Shimon Lazar who argues, he says, one's going to be chayiv. Why? Because Rishon Lozor holds that once Reuven gave a chashivas, I'm going to point out the chayiv has to belong to Reuven to give it the chashivas. Once Reuven gives the chashivas, therefore if Shimon goes and carries it, Shimon will yes be chayiv. So Rashi understands that's what this price is explaining. This price is really not Stam Reb Shimon, it's Reb Shimon Lozor. And it's saying this din that when Reuven, in this case the Rebbe, the teacher is matzniya this item, by storing this item, even though it's item which is not considered universally chashiv, he gave the chashivas, and now when the Talmud moves it, the Talmud is going to be chayiv. Tosfos does not like Rashi's approach that all of a sudden we're mixing in this machlokes of Shimon and Lazar, and he's also bothered according to Shimon and Lazar who have to come into a Rebbe and a Talmud. Just say the lachastam. If Reuven gives the chashivas and then Shimon goes and carries it, Shimon will be chayiv. Explains to Yisus, the argument says it's dafko over here by a Rebbe Talmud, meaning even if you go nag of Shimon and Lazar who says that when Reuven gives the chashivas his item and Shimon carries it, Shimon's chayev, we all not like that. We all Shimon carrying Reuven's item does not make Shimon chayev because Shimon has no chashivas for this item. However, Rebbe Talmud is a different relationship. Again, Rebbe Talmud doesn't mean Rebbe Talmud. It means teacher and student. The fact that it's a teacher and a student, that also is enough to make it a chashivas and therefore be chayev. If you look at the last lines of Tosfos, Umeshani b'talmud shamal rabbi tikai gavna, klamamay d'shat talmud oisa hakol l'das rabbi. This is Tosfos, divrei ha'masa, up to third Tosfos on the page. The last words of Tosfos says very clearly, Talmud Isaac Akol, the Das Rabbi, so therefore it's not Stam like a Shimon and Reuven. This is Talmud of the Rabbi. The Talmud is Das, is like butler to the Rabbi, and therefore again, it means teacher and student, and therefore the blacksmith's apprentice, his Das is butler to him, and therefore if the blacksmith has Cheshivas, the student's Chayav for carrying it as well, and that's the Chiddush of Braisa, not even coming on to that sheet we had earlier in the Mishnayos, if you blot back, where we said that Reuven could be Kaveya for Shimon. Amamar.
Wouldn't the Gemara.
So he said, and the Brisa, the Rabbanu Maitre Reb Shimon, that if a person's Maitzi, wastewater, Sheifchen, water needs to be spilled out to Shish Rabim, still Chayav Brevius. Sheifchen Maichazu, what is Sheifchen water fit for? Then the Mishnah I think the Lashon Reason was Maim Sruchim. Okay, but Maim Sheifchen, what's it used for? It's used to knead clay. You can knead clay with it, so that explains the Brisa. That can explain the Mishnah as well. Others want to say that the Mishnah, we never ask the question on the Mishnah, we only ask the Brisa, because Mayim Sheifchem sounds like really dirty waters. Whereas the earlier, our Mishnah, the waters weren't as dirty, just wasn't drinkable water, but it wasn't as dirty. Some want to say, and therefore therefore in our Mishnah, we already knew that there could be some other use. You could maybe wash something with it, even after drinking. You have water that, you know, in the washrooms in the airplanes, which most of us probably haven't been on in a while, but in the washroom of the airplanes, it always says, this water is good for washing your hands, but not for drinking water. There's a concept of water which is not fit for drinking, but still fit for washing. So in the Mishnah, when it says that the water was not the, you know, not the cleanest water, maybe it's fit for other stuff, not for, but not for drinking. This Lashon of Sheifchim, maybe the Gemara Dafke has on the brace, someone to say, because Sheifchim is mashma even more dirty, and still the Gemara says, Yechayv Revius, why? It's enough to need some clay. Says the Gemara, problem. You tell me the shear of water is enough to need clay, which sounds like you need Revius to need a decent amount of clay, but we know that Lach is that clay itself, Yechayv, for much less than a Revius, than the amount of clay that you need a Revius for. Meaning, when you have clay itself, even a much smaller amount is enough to create a Chayv. Atanya, Tit, K'dei Lasman Piataner, Tit, one is Chayv, even enough to make a P-core. Core is this, this clay they used to use to burn, to smelt metals. So there'd be little holes in it, and they stick into the holes these metal pokes to kind of move the fire around. So in order to make sure you still want this oven to be sealed, so they had these little holes, and they put clay into the hole to make it as tight as possible, where you could just stick this little stick in and out of the hole. So that's a very small amount of clay. And we're saying that's enough for it to be chayev, because that's a chashiva, that's a purpose. So if that's the point, so for the water, for that little amount of clay should be chayev. Why do you need a revius of water? Once you're using water for clay, why do you need a revius? Says the Gemara, Vatanya, Tit, K'dei Lasman Pi Kor, enough just to cover the pi of this kor, Leikasha, Hadle Megabel. The Gemara explains, it depends. To make clay in the first place, you only make a larger amount. When it's ready, when you already have the clay, you can use as chashivas even a small amount. Like the Gemara elaborates, it's very simple. A person wouldn't get busy making clay just to cover, to make a hole in this core. He wouldn't make a clay just for that. Once he has clay, he'll use a little bit of that clay to stuff up various holes. But he's not going to make the clay for that small amount. So therefore, if the person carrying water is chayef, this dirty water, because that's chashivas in order to make clay, has to be to make clay enough of a shear that a person would use to make clay in the first place, and that's a minimum amount of clay, which is a revius of water and the equivalent amount of material needed to make the clay with that revius. Okay. Zakta Mishnah Vayta. More cases. There's going to be a lot of this Mishnah, and next Gemara is going to be even a whole bunch of list of cases of what the shiurim is for chashivas. It's really going to take us almost to the bottom of Amud Beis. Just straight cases. A Mishnah and then a Braisa. Hamaitse Chava, one who carries a rope. K'dei Lasa Ezen L'Kupa, it's enough to make a handle for a basket. That's Chayev. A rope that's enough to make a handle for a basket is Chayev for carrying on Shabbos. Gummy, what if he takes that like reed, like grass? So that's really not as strong as a rope. It's not as coarse, as strong as a rope. And K'dei Lasa is Tloy L'Naf V'Kivra. So it's a smaller share. It's enough to make a handle for the Naf V'Kivra, for the Sieve and the Sifter. The Mara is going to ask, well, if a Sieve and a Sifter used to have a handle, the rope, which is bigger for a basket, why make me chayef only for the shear to carry a basket? Make me chayef for a smaller shear, even enough to carry the sifter and the sieve. The Gemara is explained, because the rope is too coarse, it actually damages the sifter and the sieve, and therefore it's davka, rope for a basket, and the reeds for the sifter and the sieve. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda says, a different shear for the rope. They used to use, actually, before they have the modern day ways of measuring people's feet with the I forgot they call those things in the shoe store. They used to actually take a piece of string, measure it against a person's foot, a child's foot, go to the shoemaker. Back in the day, all shoes were custom made. No such thing as off the shelf. They'd go to the shoemaker and give him the rope, and the shoemaker would now look at the length of the rope and build the shoe based on that, on the size of that rope. So he just says, that's a chashivas for the rope. If it's a big enough rope to take a measure, obviously it could be quite a small rope, big enough to take the measure of a foot, I guess the smallest child that's walking, but it's the size of a child's foot, that's really chashivas, and therefore you'd be chayav on Shabbos. Niyar, paper. Now the question, the paper we're talking about, L'chayra, Rashi is talking about paper that's made from grass. So this type of paper, what's the shiur? K'dei L'chayv Alav Kesher Meichsen. Enough to write the receipt of a tax collector, which Rashi explains on the bottom of the last line of the page. Rashi says the Kesser Meichsen was actually had very little writing on it. It was almost like initials. Two letters that were very big. Two big letters, Mar's going to elaborate, two big letters of the, which written in almost Yevani language, or Yevani print, which is bigger than two regular Hebrew letters, but that's it. A piece of paper big enough for two letters for the tax collector, that's sufficient to be considered chashiv, and therefore one is chayiv. If I'm making cash or mechsim chayiv, one who takes out the actual receipt from the tax collector is chayiv. Again, we'll discuss in the Gemara why it's, what exactly the chashivus is. We're going to see First over here, L'chari, the second line is not talking anymore about a paper of reeds. It's talking about, let's say, a parchment, a tax collector's receipt on a parchment. And the Mefarshim explained, there's a chiddush over here, because later we're going to have, at the minimum shear of parchment itself, is the shear to write a parsha katana. Shear to write Shema Yisrael, Shema Elkeinu, Shema Chad. That shear, that's the minimum shear. If a tax collector's put his initials on a parchment, so now it is chashivas as a receipt for a tax collector, even though it's smaller than the minimum parsha, that would also be chayev, and that's how the Rishonim explain what the element of chiddush in this line is. Hamaitzi kasher merchzin, chayev means even a parchment, even smaller than the shear we're going to give for parchment itself later in the Mishnah or in the Mishnah. Okay, niyar, top of Einchas and Beis, niyar, machuk, paper that's erased. So once a paper was erased, it wasn't able to be used again back in the day as paper, meaning for writing purposes, but it could be used for something else. So what's the shear? That's which is enough to use to cover the mouth of a flask. For some reason, the plaiton is a flask of oil, balsam oil. Maybe those flasks were smaller. That's why it's being used as an example, specifically balsam oil. It's enough to cover a flask. We're saying even a small flask it's a bottle cap. It's enough. And therefore, one's chai for carrying down Shabbos. Or the leather hide, kilasas kameya, enough to make a kameya. Klaf, how much parchment? Kedei lichtev, all of parsha kedashim tefillin. Like we just talked a moment ago, enough to write a small parsha tefillin, which is Shema Yisrael, which is the parsha of Shema Yisrael. Di ink, kedei lichtev Jesus. Ink, enough to write two letters. Kechel, makeup for the eye. Kedei lichel ayinachas, enough to put makeup on one eye, which is a chiddush. The Gemara is going to ask. The Gemara is going to talk about these next few items on Daf Pei in a Monday's Daf, and the Gemara is going to explain who puts makeup on one eye. Makeup on one eye doesn't seem to be a usual usage. Why is makeup for one eye enough to be chashev to be considered carrying on Shabbos? We'll see it in the Gemara in a couple of blah mitzvahs. Devek glue, k'tei litim breisha shavshav. Devek glue is enough to put on top of a board. Again, the Gemara to describe on the pay exactly what the board is. Zephyrs and gophers, pitch and sulfur. K'tei lasis nekev, in order to make a hole. It's a very interesting Rashi. Rashi says, he used to say if you jump into Rashi on the side, it's about four lines into where the lines get more narrow. 10 lines down from the top of the page. Rashi says, Kli shenaisim by kesef chai. It's a kli that used to put mercury into this kli. Saisim piv is efes abig office. They use the sulfur or this pitch to cover the top of this kli. And then they poke a small hole in the sulfur or the pitch. And now there's a tiny hole and they pour out the mercury in very small amounts. I'm not sure what they used it for back then, honestly. But they, now it's used in technology is used in, right, in mercury. But I'm not sure what it was used for back then. But okay, they used to have in these little vials of mercury and have this little opening made from pitch and sulfur that were actually the seal. But there's a hole in that seal. So enough to make the cover with the hole. That's the shear of carrying the Zephyrs and Gophers on Shabbos. It's V'chayev. Shaiva wax.
Sorry? It was probably a dispenser, so they could pour it out bit by bit.
No, 100%. That's exactly what it was. I'm curious what they used it for. The mercury. Not the, I understand that the Zephyrs and the, thank you, the Zephyrs and the sulfur, the pitch, that was for dispenser. Correct. 100%. That's the taish. My question was, it wasn't clear. The mercury itself, I'm curious. I have no clue what it was being used for back then. Shaiva wax, the elite LP, neck of cotton. Wax, the Rash explains, wax is used when they used to open a barrel. They used to want to seal up the barrel if they took some wine out. So they used to make a little hole, take some wine out, and wanted to close it, they put some wax on top. So enough to close up that hole, that's considered chashev. Charasis, that's a brick that was crushed. K'dei lasa pikur, shall serve itself. So this is back to like we had before the Mishnah, a few lines before, in these hot refineries. So this is over here, we're talking about by gold, surface of. Those who refine gold, so they would be enough to make a, it's actually machlekes, exactly what this is. Either it's enough to make the opening. Yes?
Yeah, mercury was used, each civilization has its own legend about mercury.
Oh, they use mercury for medicine purposes. Interesting. Yeah, Shkayach. The Shkayach Hershey for that. So the crushed brick, we're saying, is enough of a shear that could be used to make the hole, the opening, just like I had before, with the clay, to make the opening for the gold refinery. Rebbe Aimer, K'dei lases pitput, enough to make the pitput. Pitput was like a tripod that you put this gold refinery on. They explain it doesn't mean to make the whole tripod. It means to patch up any holes in the tripod. These two's crushed brick. Subin, bran, K'dei liten al pikur, p'tzershet surface of. Again, same thing, enough to put in the opening of the gold refinery hole. Sim, this sid, this lime. The mission is going to give three different shitas of what the shear is. Either they lost a katana shabbat. One is to put on the small. They used to put lime on the skin of the girls. They used to make their skin shine a little bit, but they couldn't do the whole body at once. The body wasn't able to handle it. So they would do different body parts at a shot. So the smallest body part, like the small finger, let's say, of a small girl, that's already enough of a shear for chashivas because it's already a use. Rabbi Da'imer Kedelas says, Kilkel. Kilkel is a way that they used to want to make the hair on the sides of the head by the temple be flat. So he used to plaster it down. So the lime over there, enough of a shear for that, is considered enough of chashivas for carrying on Shabbos to be chayiv. Rabbi Da'imer Kedelas and Undefi. Undefi is enough that he used to, the amount they used to smear on the forehead. Again, the Gemara is explaining more later on the Pema Beis exactly what this. What does it mean to smear the forehead? But a different usage of the lime. We have three machlokes in the Mishnah. What the exact share of lime is to be chayef for carrying on Shabbos? Okay. Says the Gemara. First, the Gemara address before we get to our Braisa that elaborates a more dinim of carrying. The Gemara just addresses the rope. You saw me chevel the share of rope in the Mishnah. We said it was enough to carry a basket, enough to be a handle on a basket. Why didn't you say the smaller share enough to be a handle on the enough of a kivra on the sifter and the sieve, like you said, for the reed grass? Answers the Gemara, even the charik b'mana le'avdi inshi. Since it's very, the rope is coarse, and that's why it can hold a heavy basket. But since it's coarse, it actually breaks into the sifter and the sieve. It damages it, and therefore people aren't going to use it for that. If it's not common to use it for that, it's not usual, it's not the right normal usage, one's not chayef for carrying that shear, therefore the shear of rope is long enough for a basket dafka, and not that which is long enough for the sifter and the sieve, because it won't be used for that. Tanarban. Hutsin are the, Rashi explains, like lulvein, it's like lulavim from the palm branch, the like lulavim, palm leaves, I guess. Kedelasis oizen lasal kvifa mitzvahs. Enough to make a handle for a basket for the, also made from like, from the bark of a palm tree. Siv. So siv, they say, is lashon from saviv. It's like the vines that wrap around the palm tree. That's where the word siv comes from. So achayim, what's the shear? Achayim say, the shear is kelitin al pi mashbechotan. Enough to put on top of the mouth of a funnel. Why would they do that for? So Mark explains, lasanin asiyayin. It was used like a strainer. You didn't want all the sediment of the wine to go into the barrel. So you put, when you're pouring into the funnel, the wine, into the barrel, so, or into the flask, you have this vine there, and apparently it wasn't so thick as to stop the wine from going through. The wine would go through it, but it would hold back the sediment. It was used as like a strainer. Revav, grease. Rashi says revav is grease, but Rashi explained. Rashi explains revav to mean shuman ay shemen. Fat or oil. Jump at the top taste fist. Oil. We've discussed oil. People come to shuman ay shemen. Al karch ain't a shemen. It can't be shemen. The shemen nasal by chamashir. Acher masisen. We already gave a different shear for oil in our Mishnah prior. So today says, Revav means grease, does not mean shemen. They want to explain for Rashi and Rashi didn't mean dafka, regular oil. It meant like a different type of fat or like grease that's used for other purposes. Enough to put on the back of a cookie of a wafer. They used to bake chalas. They used to put cookies in the oven and they don't want it to stick to the grill or to the side of the wall of the oven. So they'd smear a little oil on it and then put it against the wall. That's enough to put oil, grease on the back of the cookie. That is the shear to be chayav on Shabbos, which is also not a big shear. Says, how much is that? Kisela, the size of a sella coin. Vatani kagari grease. We learned elsewhere in other brisa, the shear of the cookie is not the shear of a sella. It's not the size of a sella coin. And we learned elsewhere it's the size of a gregris, a dried fig. Answer the Gemara, not a stira. I divide the chashiru. The gregris and the sella coin were very similar in size. The dried fig and the coin were similar in size. Enough oil to put on the back of this cookie, the size of a sella / gregris, which is the same shear, that's enough to be chayef for carrying that oil on Shabbos. Muchen. So muchen is normally touched as like soft materials. As like materials. Kedelas from Kadar Katana, enough to make a small ball. The Kamashiri, how big is this small ball? Guys, one carries enough to make a small ball the size of a walnut. One is chayef. I did not see what the usage of that's for. And I didn't look around too much, but the little I looked around, I didn't see where anyone says what the usage is for. It just says a shear. The shear is to make a small ball the size of a nut. That's the shear being chayav for this material. I guess it's fairly obvious, maybe, that cotton or these other soft materials, what they can have many usages, and once you have a minimum shear, but I didn't say don't give a specific usage the size of a walnut. Okay. Niyar, paper, k'day luchtav of keshet muchsin. Paper is enough that you can write the receipt of the tax collector. That shear is enough for one to be chayav for carrying a Shabbos. Tana. We learned that a braisa. That's, again, this going back, this the Mishnah says that's the shear. Our Bryce is going to explain what the idea behind it is. Kamakesh Mechsen, how big is the shear of this tax collector's receipt? So the shear is Shtei Isius B'Ksav Yevani, the size of two letters in the Ksav Yevani, which is a much larger Ksav than the Hebrew Ksav. V'Ramini, we learned elsewhere, I might see Nerchalik, one who takes out a blank piece of paper. If it's enough to write two letters, Chayev, not Pater, we see seemingly two letters, doesn't say anything about. It doesn't say anything about letters of Yevani. It just has two letters, and one's going to be chayav. It seems to be even regular letters, not Yevani. So Gemara gives two answers. Amar Sheshes, my Shtei Oisis. What does Sheshes mean? Shtei Oisis Kasher Meichzen. By saying a paper that's fit for two Oisis, the Braisa held was self-explanatory. It means two Oisis that's good for the tax collector's signature, and the tax collector's signature are known to be larger letters. So basically, Hachamai Skinan, two letters means larger letters. So the Braisa could use the lashon of two letters Tam, and we can interpret to be larger letters and fit with the Taich of our Mishnah, and therefore not Shver. Rava doesn't like it. Rava says, Rava Amar, Shte Isis Idan. It means the size of our two letters. Ubeis Achiza, but also has to have a margin to be able to hold the paper. The Kesha Mechsen was two large letters for the tax collector, which took up the whole page. That's how big this page was, and that's enough, we're saying, for Cheshivas, for carrying on Shabbos. And then we have this other Bryce, which says two regular letters, not a stira. It means two regular letters with the margin. Two regular letters means, of course, you have two letters with the margin that you need to hold the paper separate from the letters, and therefore, that's going to be the exact same size as the two letters of the tax collector of the Meichsin, which is without the margin, is equal in size, and therefore not a stira to our Mishnah. Okay. Meisvi, ask from Braisa Kasha on Rava. Hamaitzin Ramach, one who carries out a paper that was raised. Ushta Perua, or a page style. That's going to be actually the focus of the last Gemara that we'll end off with tonight. Ushta Perua. So a person who carries out a blank document, or a Shtar Perua, a paid up Shtar. Imesh Beleven Shalai, if the white space, like the margins, can they lift of Shazers, has enough space to write two letters? Stam, just two letters, it says. Or the entire paper, which is useless now because the document's paid, shtar is paid, or the paper's been erased, and it can't be written on again. If there's enough to cover a small flask, then that's a chashivas chayev. So either to cover a small flask, or enough then the margins in the white to write two more letters, that's enough to be chayev. And pater. But if you don't have enough space for that, for either or, then it's going to be pater. If it's not big enough to be a cover for a flask, or to write two letters in the white space on this used up paper, then it's not going to be a shear, and one will not be chayev for carrying on Shabbos. Bishlam Rav Sheshes, Mar Zakasha. According to Rav Sheshes, very good. Rav Sheshes says, when it says two asis in a Mishnah, when a braises tam, even though we know the shear of two asis has to be for a tax collector, which is large asis, that's what it means. Two asis tam means two large asis. So here too, that's what it means. Damar Mashte asis, Sheshes Kesher Meichsin. Rav Sheshes teaches the word Sheshes to mean the two asis of a Kesher Meichsin. Shapir, it's very good. Say the same teach in this brace as well. That was the commonly used two asis that we refer to in the braces, and therefore it makes sense. It means the two asis of the Meichsin. El the Rav Damar Shte asis didan. Ubeis Achiza. Rav holds when it says two asis in that last brace, he holds really two asis means regular asis. I why you chayev? You're not chayev for two regular asis. Only chayev for two asis the size of a tax collector, the Yevani asis, the big ones. So why would you be chayev for two asis? We explain two asis means two asis and the space next to it to carry it. So two aces means two aces plus the margin. So over here, you don't need a margin. Why? Because you already had a contract, a shtar perua, or a niyar machlok, or a paper that's been erased. There already is plenty of margin there. There's more margin than clear paper. Who needs extra margin? El Rav Adamar Shte Aces Tidan. Ubeis Achiza, Shte Aces means two regular aces. And Beis Achiza, the Hainu Kesher Meichsin, which is the same share as the Kesher Meichsin. Hacha Beis Achiza Leitzarech. Over here, you don't need a Beis Achiza. So, I mean, the Kasha to me, the Marley is a Shver, Kasha, Shver. And they're trying to give various answers, but I see a few of you moving your hands. I am assuming we have all the same as that Kasha. The Teretz is so obvious. It's beautiful going to Rava. Rava was saying Shte Aces with a margin. In a case where margin's not obvious, so you have to have two aces with a margin. You're right, over here, the whole star is a margin. We know that. What the Pekash is that? We know that the rest of the star is a margin. It's almost like I think I must be missing something in the Gemara's question, the Teretz, and the Gemara leaves the Kasha. It's not even like the Gemara answers the question and says an obvious answer, which you find often that the Gemara, you were bothered, what was the Gemara's Havmina? Over here, the Gemara leaves it as a Kasha. And the Kasha is very Shver. I mean, to me, it's very Shver. What is the Kasha? The Chayre Rava can easily answer two regular Isis with, not with an additional margin of empty space, with the whole margin of the Shtar Perua, or of the raised Shtar, whatever it was. You have all that extra space that's useless. That space is now going to be your margin. Over, you don't need extra margin because you have it. That's therefore it's enough to chashivas. Okay. Says the Gemara. Tanaban. Hamaitzi. Unless, I'm just happy right now. Unless I'm missing something. No, I'm wrong. I'm making a mistake. I'm wrong. Leon, it's not so simple. I see you bothered by the same question. Not so simple. Because you need enough space for the meichas to write the big letters. We're saying enough to write two stam letters is not a chashivas v'sha, a paper where I can write two regular sized letters. That paper is not chashiv enough to be chayiv for carrying on Shabbos. It's got to be a paper that's big enough to write two letters of the tax collector. So the kasha is, on the contrary, is exactly what we're saying on Rava. That's the kasha. According to Rava, when you say two letters, it means two letters plus the space of a margin. Over here, you have margin. You have margin adin saif. You have all the rest of the shayas your margin. So the two letters won't mean two letters plus an extra margin to hold it. You have that. Rather, what does what after Tai Chi? You have Tai Chi two letters to mean two letters the size of a meichus, the size that a meichus would sign, because that's what you need for a shir to be chayav on Shabbos. And therefore, it's a raya, not like Rava, that the size of two letters means the bigger shir, not the smallest shir. It's a good kasha. I take it back. It's a good kasha in the Gemara. Okay, let's finish up. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. This is actually not a Gemara to run through, but we'll go through it fairly quickly. Tana, it's late. Tana Rabbanan. Hamaitzis kasha meichusin, a person who brings out the kesher meichusin, adshe hareil lemeichus chayev. If a person brings out the tax receipt before he showed it to a tax collector, so then he's chayev, right? Since it still has usage until he shows the tax collector, as chashiv, therefore he's chayev. Once he showed it to the tax collector, he doesn't need it anymore, therefore he's pater, b'daimer, afishur l'meichus chayev, even after he showed it to the tax collector, he's still chayev, mishat sarach, because it still has usage. So there wasn't being three explanations about what this means. I actually meant the next summer is a little more complicated. My benai, what's the explanation? Amar Abaye says, machlekes as follows. Ikabad riti muksa, between them is when you have runners. The tax collectors used to have runners that run after collecting the money. They were like the minions for the tax collector. So the guy showed the tax collector already. He has a receipt, but now he has to still show it to the runners. So the Rabban held that that's not chashuv enough because he knows if the runners end up schlepping him and they don't believe him that he paid, he'll go in front of the tax collector and tell the tax collector paid, and the tax collector will say, I know you paid, and it's fine. So he doesn't have to keep the shtar, it's not chashuv. Rabbi said, no, he still wants to avoid that aletic, and therefore it's still considered chashuv even to show the runners. Similar idea, Rav Amar. He used to be a senior tax collector and a junior tax collector. Does he really care to keep the shtar to prove to the junior tax collector or not? According to Rabbanan, doesn't care so much, and therefore once he paid it, he doesn't need it to show this junior tax collector. It's not chashiv. So if he carries it on Shabbos, he won't be chayiv. According to Behuda, he still wants to show the junior tax collector, and therefore he'll be chayiv. Third pshat, Rav Ashi Amar. We're talking about when there's one tax collector, no minions. But the point is, he wants to. Does he paid the tax collector? And he doesn't need it for this tax collector. Does he want to keep a copy of it to show in future locations, future bridges, future towns? I'm a guy who pays taxes. Veraya, look, I have a tax receipt. He wants to show to second meichas. Darmalei, he says to him, Chazik avid meichas. Now, see, I'm a guy who pays my taxes. Tanabon. Hamaitz shtar chayiv, one who brings out a shtar chayiv, adshlei par chayiv, a shtar chayiv, a loan contract. So if it wasn't paid up yet, that's obviously a chashuv of paper, and therefore he carries on Shabbos, he's chayiv. U'mishapar, once it's paid up, pater is pater. B'daimer, af mishapar chayiv. Even after it's paid up, he's chayiv, mishat sarach lai, because he still needs it. What's going on over here? Why does he still need the shtar, even if it's paid up? And really, can ask, what's he doing with the shtar? If it's paid up, that's going to be the following conversation. My benayo, Amar Basif, Asur Lishay Shtar Peroika Benayo. The Machalik is a person allowed to keep a shtar that's paid up in his possession. Rabban Tzavi Asalash Lishay Shtar Perua. A person's not allowed to even keep the paid up shtar in his possession. Therefore, it has no usage. He's supposed to be destroying it. And if he carries on Shabbos, it's unfortunate he's being over the issa of having this shtar perua, but he's not chayav for Shabbos because there's no usage. Rabbi Yehuda Safar Mutal Lishayis Peshtar Perua. Rabbi Yehuda says he's allowed to keep it. What's he keeping it for, by the way? Not chas v'shalom to recollect. He's keeping it as a bottle cap. He's allowed to keep a shtar perua, and therefore has chashivas, has status, let's say, as a bottle cap, and therefore he's going to be chayav for carrying it. Explanation number one. Abaye Amar, no, everyone agrees. Dukle Alma, this will be halacha for the day. Dukle Alma, us lash shtar perua. Everyone agrees it's us to carry a shtar perua on Shabbos. Everyone agrees one cannot carry, Everyone agrees that one cannot keep a shtar perua around ever. A paid shtar is very dangerous to keep it around your house, and as the lender, and you may pull out again to collect, it's a very bad idea. So it's also to keep a shtar perua. So what's the machleik say about Shabbos? Separate machleik, is famous machleik, we have this in Ksuvis, we have many of the Masechtos, the idea of a shtar that's written, does it need to be verified, authorized. So in a case where, let's say, the borrower agrees, the shtar was written because I borrowed the money. The borrower agrees I borrowed the money. If he agrees he borrowed the money, do you still need him a kaim or not? What's the machlekes? Because the case of B is talking about where the borrower says I borrowed the money. It's a verified shtar, but guess what? I paid. I borrowed the money, but I paid it back already. Do we say it's like a pesha asa pesha iter? And since he admitted, even though he admitted he broke the shtar, and the shtar was a real shtar, he says he paid it back, and therefore the shtar needs to go get, now needs to be verified by other edim in order for the malva to collect? Or do we say that no? Then no, once he verified the shtar is a good shtar, so the shtar doesn't need to be verified anymore. He's tiny, he paid back, but then why is the shtar by the malva? Shouldn't it be by the malva? And therefore, the malva would not have to go prove the shtar again to collect with it, and therefore would have chashivas. Says the Gemara, Tana Kama Sabar. Even if you made the shtar that was written, you need mekayimet in a case where the borrower is claiming, I paid. For Rabbi Yehuda Savar, if the borrower's made the shtar is real, even though he now claims he also paid, it doesn't make a difference. You don't need to verify the shtar because the shtar is considered verified. The Braisa said, you carry a shtar before it's paid or after it's paid. What does that mean? Ma'ach tepare umishapare. Says about top of the Amud. Ayin test about Aleph. Ad shiyoyim leve paraiti. Vele paraiti. That's what we mean. A shtar that's being carried where the leve didn't say paraiti. So if you didn't say paraiti, that shtar certainly has value. That shtar is considered the davar chashiv, and therefore the guy's chayv carrying on Shabbos. If the leve says paraiti, so even the leve has verified the shtar, but he said paraiti, so now we have machlekes in the Mishnah. Is it considered a shtar that's chashiv because it's already a usable shtar right now, and therefore it's chashiv, and therefore it's chayv carrying, or is it not considered a usable shtar because the leve, he's the one that said it's a good shtar, but he said he paid, and therefore it's a peshas peshiter, and therefore the shtar is no good, and therefore the malvo will not be chayv carrying. That's the machlokes the Mishnah. It says Gemara, two more pshatim. Rav Amar, Rav says no. Everyone agrees the star, even if the leiv is made that it was written. If he says paraiti, you'd have to go and verify the star again. Everyone agrees to that. So what's the machlokes here? Halacha b'kais v'shever k'mifkli. Machlokes over here is: do we write a shaver? Do we allow a shaver to be written? Which means we allow the malva to keep the star and just write a shaver or not? Tanakama sever kais v'shever. Tanakama says we write a shaver. So therefore, the star is not of the most importance to the malva, because if the malva loses the star, he still can collect from the leva, and he'll just write a receipt to the leva, and therefore the star is not so important. If you're not chayav for carrying such a star, whereas Rebbe Yehuda Sover in kaisu shaver, we are in a city where Rebbe Yehuda holds that in general, sorry, not just a city, Rebbe Yehuda holds we don't write shavers, we don't make it a responsibility of the leva to carry a receipt forever, which means the malva is only going to be able to collect with the star. If he's only able to collect with the star, that means the star is chashiv. Carrying such a star, according to Rebbe Yehuda, makes the guy chayav. Whereas according to Rabbanan, where we write a shaver, he doesn't need the star absolutely to collect, and therefore the star is not so chashiv. And therefore, he's not chayav for carrying. Last pshat, the Gemara of Ashi Amar Bashi says, you're all focused on this from the side of the leiva, from the side of the malva. And you have all these conversations back and forth. We have it all wrong. We should be focused on this from the possession of the leiva. Says Rav Ashi, Mimeshitzarach, La Reise, La Balchev Sheni. We're discussing over here by a leiva who has possession of the shtar that he's already paid up. And he's carrying it on Shabbos. Is he chayav or not? The Tanakhama says, no, because he has no real need for it. He can just rip it up. He has no usage for it. And therefore, he's potter for carrying it. And Ruta says he's chayav. You know why? Mimeshitzarach, La Reise, La Balchev Sheni, because he uses it as a proof. Look, I'm a good person. I have good credibility to lend to me, because look, I can prove to you I've borrowed money in the past and I've paid it up. V'araya, here's the shtar. Damalei chazid de gavra parna. Look, I'm a guy who pays back my debts, and therefore you should feel comfortable giving me money. Quick halacha of the day. So there's a shayla. If a person, as he was saying, halacha lemaisa, Abaya says everyone agrees. Kliyama shtar that's paid back, one is not allowed to keep his possession. A shtar that's paid can't keep his possession. Dangerous item to keep. It's Borla halacha in the Shulchan Aruch in Chesha Mishpat Siman and Zion. Shulchan Aruch brings asul lahashes shtar peru b'zech beisai. Mamish this halacha of Abaya in our Gemara. One cannot keep a paid back shtar in his house. Very gishmak shayla brought by Rabbi Avadia Seifas Atzal. He brought a gishmak shayla. If a person has a chayv against Reuven, has a chayv against Shimon, and then Reuven in his mind decides, Shimon's having rough times, I'm not going to collect it. I'm meichlot. He decided in his mind. Never told Shimon, never even verbalized it. He decided in his mind he's meichlot. Now, is there an issue of, is he allowed to collect it? The shah is he allowed to collect it? Is he allowed to go and collect this chayiv? Or do we say a mechila in the heart is dvarim shebelev, and dvarim shebelev ain't a dvarim? Or do we say the mechila is real mechila, and therefore we can no longer go and collect this chayiv? So it's actually a machlekes between the ktseis achayshen and the marshal. Because the Chayshin says that a Dvarm Shebelev ain't a Dvarm, and therefore one cannot collect. Whereas the Marshal says that Mechila Belev is a good Mechila. It's a valid Mechila, and therefore, Chayshin says Dvarm Shebelev ain't a Dvarm, and therefore he can, yes, collect. He can still collect the Chayv. And the Marshal says that Mechila is a valid Mechila, and therefore he cannot go and continue to go and actualize the Shtar, which would make it us for him to keep the Shtar. Okay. Says that Adaris, he's bothered with the Chayshin. This that we say Dvarm Shebelev in a Dvarm is typically in a case where there's an action, where there's something that's a steer to his Dvarm Shebelev. Dvarm Shebelev in a Dvarm is the cloud we say is specifically when it's keneged the whatever the actions that were taking place. So he had in mind Dvarm Shebelev, things in his heart. The actions on the ground don't seem to stim with that, and therefore we say Ein Dvarim. But if there's nothing that goes against the Dvarm Shebelev, there's nothing in the actions on the ground that are against the Dvarm Shebelev, then Dvarm Shebelev works. So ask that there. I don't understand the Ktsaisis, this Tushdel to bring the Ktsaisis in over here and say that Dvarm Shebelev Ein Dvarim, and therefore the Mechila is not a Mechila. Mechira, it is a debt. He was meichlet. There's nothing showing that, nothing at the face value showing that it's not meichlet, and therefore it should be the chayv is meichlet even according to the ktsais, and there should be no way he's able to collect it. Answers that there is beautiful, based on our Gemara, based on our halach and Shulchan Aruch. Halach is one is not allowed to keep a shtar around if the debt is no longer in effect. If a debt's in effect, he has to rip up the shtar. Right? Says the, and I should really, I left out a nekuda of the shayla, and not, and not, 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 uh, it's not critical, but it is a nice detail. The case brought before the Abia Emir was the borrower came to pay back. And the borrower came and said, I stole your money. You stole a shtar. Let me pay you back. Is the lender allowed to take the money even? Is he even allowed to take it? That was the shaila. The borrower wanted to give it to him for the chayiv. Is the lender allowed to take it? Says the Aderis, if the lender has a shtar in his possession that says that the borrower owes him money, even if the lender was meichel b'leiv, his mechila b'leiv is a stira to possessing the shtar in his hands. If he's really meichel, you know what he has to do? He has to rip it up. So there's very much a stira in the facts on the ground with dvarim shebelev. So even if we have a klal, that dvarim shebelev in a dvarim is only when it's going against some sort of fact on the ground, it would meet the criteria of here as well, because keeping the shtar, which is usur to keep, when it's no longer shtar, would be considered a stira to the mechila, and therefore the person would be allowed to, in the Yabi Omer's case, be allowed to collect the chayv, so long as he hasn't ripped up the shtar. If it's obvious, again, if you ripped up the shtar, it's not just a mechila belave, then it's a mechila in action, and therefore the chayv would be, anyway, it wouldn't be a shayla. But the case of here was, where he did a mechila belave, and didn't rip up the shtar, and the Yabi Omer passed, and therefore he's able to go collect from the leva b'teiris collection. Again, if the leva wants to give him a ton afterwards because he feels guilty, separate story, but we're talking about whether there's a real chayv, and the answer is yes, the chayv still exists. A good tavach shkayach for sticking it out so late.